And I'd like to thank Mr. Fuller for putting this language together with the discussion that we had. So, Mr. Fuller, if you just go through the changes that we've got in this amendment.
Madam Chair, members, this is done as a delete everything to the Senate file, but it adopts the Senate or the House structure. As you see on line 1.25, as instructed, the megawatt exemption is now 1,500 megawatts, and the intent is that 1,500 is the aggregate of exemptions for both power purchase agreements, new facilities, and power purchase agreements from those new facilities that are exempted. So that's the intent. On line 1.27, the specificity about the coal fuel stock feedstock is eliminated. On line 1.29, there's an abbreviated priority set for projects, first in, first out, sort of would be how to describe it. There's a process put in on line 1.31, the next two sentences, where the Public Utilities Commission will certify an exemption, and they'll grant one if they have the authority to do so, meaning the 1,500 megawatts has not been reached, and if the facility qualifies under the terms of this clause. I believe that's it. There might ask permission to, there's one sentence that probably should be moved around, and we'll do that when we prepare the conference committee report. But that's it, Madam Chair.
And, Mr. Fuller, that sentence is on line 1.33, the power purchase agreement, perhaps should go up to 1.29. Is that what you're thinking?
1.31, Madam Chair.
1.31?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions, members, on the changes in the A9 amendment? I'd like to get some testimony for or against this proposed amendment. Anybody would like to come up? Director Grant, would you like to say a few words?
If you'd like me to, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair and members of the Conference Committee, Bill Grant for the Department of Commerce, Division of Energy Resources. Obviously, I've only just had a chance to look at this, but it's fairly clear to me that this is not what we had agreed to as far as an exemption from the current statute. In our minds, that was to be limited to a 100-megawatt project in near Jamestown, North Dakota. And this is clearly much larger than that. So without obviously reviewing the language with the governor and his staff, I can't really say more than that in terms of a reaction, but clearly on the face of it, not in keeping with the discussion we've been having about where we would be comfortable.
Questions for Mr. Grant? Comments? Mr. Grant, for the record, would you say that the language that we have in place at this point would allow a power purchase agreement to be authorized?
From a new facility, Madam Chair?
A new facility or for energy coming in from across border.
It appears to me on the face of it that it would, Madam Chair, yes.
How about our current language, Mr. Grant?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, maybe if you could clarify your current language being...
The Senate language, I should say. The Senate language.
The Senate language, as I understand it, repeals the provisions of 216H.03 in its entirety. And so I would assume that would have the same effect of eliminating any restrictions on new coal-fired power, either built in Minnesota or imported from another state.
I guess my line of thinking here is I want to know if you feel that the current law, what we have, allows for a PPA to be issued?
Well, Madam Chair, under the current law that we have, there are a number of exemptions, and the language on bidding on line 1.17 is an example of one of those exemptions. And so under these circumstances and the others that are outlined in the rest of the language, which we don't have in front of us, I believe, yes, that it is certainly possible to build new coal under conditions that are described in the bill or in the current statute.
Okay. Madam Chair, I have a question for Mr. Fuller as I read this, but not for Mr. Grant. If we'd rather hold, I can hold that until
Thank you, Madam
others
Chair.
Are done.
Thank you, Mr. Grant.
Madam Chair, Mr. Fuller, as I'm reading the exemption, this is sort of what we talked about before the recess. But as I'm reading line 1.29 on, it seems that the 1,500 megawatts would all have to come from a facility that began construction after April 1st, 2007. Or is this written in such a way that that plant, we all know that's the Spiritwood plant, that could provide power to the rural co-ops in Minnesota, but that other purchase power agreements could come from other plants as well? Is that the way this is written, or is it written so that all 1,500 megawatts has to come from a new facility that's begun construction after April 1st, 2007?
Mr. Fuller?
Madam Chair, Senator Representative Beard, just a little background. The law itself only applies to new facilities. So if you renewed a contract with an old facility, there's an issue. There's some technical argument you make that might be subject to it, but it wouldn't be. So the answer to your question is yes, under this law, it would have to be new. But under the laws that's in place, it may not affect that renewal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Fuller, thank you for the explanation, because I think it's important for the members to realize that part of the confusion and the obfuscation that's going on under the existing law as it stands now is that it is quite possible that a PUC that has trouble finding the off-ramps we've built would have trouble finding a way to renew existing power purchase agreements from existing power plants built before 2007, especially if those power purchase agreements increase the purchase of power. That's part of the problem that we have here in this whole section of law. So this, I think, is a step in the right direction, but I suppose that it comports or complies with the spirit of the law in that power plants begun construction after April 1st, 2007 are the leanest and cleanest and most efficient, and I suppose that's what we'd be proudest of having our co-ops buy, if we can find that power those plants are actually being built. So I appreciate the explanation, and I guess we'll just have to make that work. So,
thank you, Representative Beard. Any other questions? Any comments? Anybody else would like to testify?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move that we take the SCS 0086A9 amendment, and we would amend the conference committee report with that amendment and move its adoption.
Thank you. Representative Baird moves the A9 amendment onto the conference committee report. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted.
With that, if we are done,
we will get the jackets or the report done and search you out. It'll all be on the floor.
We have a hunch we'll be there for a while.
Yeah, you might be there for a while. So thank you very much. Yes, Senator Stump.
Madam Chair, just a thought. I think, don't we have one more motion, which would be the conference committee report? We adopted the amendment, correct?
But
I think we have to also.
Okay. All right. All those in favor of adopting the conference committee report?
As amended?
As amended. We don't have to do that?
We do not have a conference committee report, so the motion is to instruct staff to prepare a conference committee report reflecting the A9 amendment, and then you adopt the conference committee report.
Okay. Would you like to make that motion?
Madam Chair, I'll make that motion. We direct staff to prepare the Conference Committee report reflecting the A9 amendment being added, and to prepare the signature page, and that when we sign it, it will indicate that we've adopted the report.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay? Motion is adopted. With that, thank you very much, members. Appreciate that. And committee is adjourned.